Open your Bibles, please, to Hosea chapter 10. Last couple of weeks we've been talking about it's time to seek the Lord, and I've been trying to get to a particular place here with a specific verse where this actually got started about over a month ago when I was praying about some things. And I think I'm going to finally get to the actual verse that sparked this whole series. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. New King James, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. So let's pray. Father, again, we're so thankful for this opportunity to come boldly before the throne of grace. We expect to receive with meekness your engrafted word, which is able to save our soul, renew our mind, just bring us to a greater knowledge and understanding of who you are. We are here to seek the voice of God, to know the voice of God, to recognize the voice of God, because you speak to us consistently by your Spirit and through your word. So we thank you for that. We are here seeking you, seeking direction, seeking the wisdom of God, seeking answers that sometimes we have and we bring to you. So we thank you for that. That you desire to speak to your church. You desire to speak to each individual. And we have ears to hear and eyes to see what you're going to show us tonight. And every single day, we're so thankful for that, that you have our best interest in mind. We are so thankful for it. In Jesus' name, and everyone agreed, said,
Amen.
Amen. We've covered a number of different scriptures and gone over them, and I'm going to just quickly try to review as quickly as I can. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, we talked about by faith Enoch was translated. Before this translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God, and we focus primarily on verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we talked about what was the purpose of a reward. A reward is an incentive. And we use different examples and illustrations of rewards. What would cause someone to go out and do something specifically to get that reward? And so here, God is saying, I am a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. And when we believe that he is what? A rewarder. That not only that he exists, but that he is the God of faith, the God of righteousness, the God of peace, the God of healing, the God of salvation. What is he to you? Believe that he is. What do you need him to be? He is the God that is. All right, we call him the I am, but he is also the great is, not Oz, is. Okay, he's the God that is whatever you need him to be, as far as the scriptures have promised us. So that's what we're going to seek him diligently about. Do you need healing? He's the God that is the healer.
Amen.
Do you need wisdom? He is the God that is going to give you the answers. But we need to learn how to hear those answers. We need to learn how to seek out those answers. If you were in the equip class earlier, Pastor Mary was talking about the fact that we need to be able to hear when we need to be able to grab hold of what the Good Shepherd is going to speak. You know, she and I don't coordinate and say, now I'm going to use these scriptures, so don't touch those are my scriptures. And she used half of my scriptures tonight. So if you weren't in the equip class,
you'll hear
some of them now. I just thought, well, she already used them, so I'm just going to scratch them off my nose. No, I'm not going to do that. But in Hebrews chapter 11, when it talks about this, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I spent a lot of time on this previously, but I want you to understand, what is he to you? What do you need him to be to you? What is it that you're seeking him for? That's what you have to ask yourself. How do I go about grabbing hold of that? And being able to look into the Word of God and say, is he in there? Does he have the answer in there? Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. And so we need to believe that he is, and he will reward you with those answers. He will reward you with that direction. He will reward you with whatever you're seeking him for when he has made those promises. And all the promises of God are what? In him, yes and amen. In him, that's where we are. So we talked about that. We talked about Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. They diligently seek all these things, the Gentiles do. But as a Christian, we should be able to seek and strive after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says all these things added together will be added onto us. Why? Again, because we're seeking God. All the things that we need, when we seek God, his promises, I've got the answer for you. You just come to me, I'll reveal them to you. So we've talked about inquire and require. We went through the Amplified versions on a number of these verses, but specifically talking about direction, wisdom, answers. And then we got off on a little bit of an illustration with Gideon last week, talking about how people will put out a fleece. And as one preacher said many, many years ago, you put out a fleece and you'll probably get fleeced. Because it's an Old Testament principle. You don't do that in the New Testament. We have the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to put something out there and just say, well, God, if it was really you, have a butterfly land on my nose. You know, we hear things like that. And I know people are sincere, and I know that they desire that. But, you know, that's superstition. That's not supernatural.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to say it again, because we are really good as human beings being superstitious rather than understanding the supernatural things of God. Mm-hmm. So I can't go back and go over all that. I spent a lot of time going through examples and illustrations. So let's pick up again now where I finally want to get to, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to be reading the New King James. God, this is the subject, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Okay, so he's qualifying something about times past. God spoke various times and in various ways in times past. And he spoke to the fathers by the prophets. In other words, he spoke to the fathers of Israel. He spoke to the fathers that he had designated specifically. He spoke to them by the prophets. If those fathers needed to hear from God, if the kings of Israel needed to hear from God, who did they go to? They went to the prophets. So you had a prophet, a priest, and a king primarily in the Old Testament. Jesus is all three of those now, thank God. We don't have to have a separate priest or a separate prophet or a separate king to go to. We have King Jesus. And he says now in verse 2, has in these last days, everyone say last days.
Last days.
Now, this was written how long ago?
A long time ago.
And he's calling those the last days.
Yeah.
Did you catch that? So we are in the last of the last of the last of the last days, according to Rick Renner. Has in these last days spoken to us. Now put your name in there. In these last days, God has spoken to you and spoken to me, spoken to the world, spoken to the church by his Son, whom he has appointed to be the heir of all things. So there's something about this opening statement in the book of Hebrews that and we can spend months going through the book of Hebrews if we wanted to. But this opening kind of summary, he's saying about what I'm about to tell you through the rest of this book is going to help you understand that God is speaking to us today. And he's speaking to us by his Son, Jesus. Amen. And people say, well, Jesus isn't here today. How do we know we can hear him? Well, he's here today. He's never left us nor forsaken us. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. He's going to speak to us because he and his word are one and the same. He was the living word made flesh. Now, if he's given us his word and he's given us his spirit and he's given us him in him, again, I'm going to say where? In him, in us, he's always there to speak to us. He's speaking to us in these last days by his Son, by his word, through his spirit. All of this comes down to John chapter 10. Jesus used an illustration in the beginning of John chapter 10, verse 4, talking about the shepherd that when he puts forth his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and underline this phrase, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now this is where we've got a problem in the body of Christ. They haven't learned how to flee from the strange voice. We've got people following some of the strange voices out there.
Yeah.
Hello? Mm-hmm. See, if I know the voice of my good shepherd, I will not follow the voice of a stranger. Now, how many of you ever heard someone who does impersonation, voice impersonations? You all heard them. You know, you get to see them on TV or different situations, you know. And some of them are pretty good. If you're not watching the person and they're talking, you go, wow, that really sounds like. But then when you hear next to the real person, it's like, that's not even right. And if someone were to call you up and say, hi, Pastor Dwayne, this is your wife, Mary. Don't think so. Do you think I know her voice? Even someone who would try to impersonate her voice, do you think I'd know her voice? Think of anybody that's really close to you. Do you know their voice? Sure you do. They don't have to say, oh, by the way, did you check caller ID? This is me calling you. I just want you to know it's me. We don't need to have caller ID when it comes to Jesus speaking to us. You know, if you want caller ID, then it's Bible verse, chapter and verse. This is John 3:16 speaking. That's the number, whatever it is. But see, if he's going to speak to us, he's going to speak in chapter and verse. He's going to speak through the Word of God. And I have to admit my methodology, if I want to say that, when people have challenged me and said, well, how do you know God spoke to you? And this is just me, okay? But I listen to Brother Kenneth Hagin tapes and in person so many times when I was a new Christian. And I just know that squeaky voice, his old gravelly voice. I just know his voice. And there's times when I'd been praying and I'd be praying about something and I'd just say, Lord, I really need some direction on this. Lord, I need some wisdom on this. I need an answer on this. And I'd just pray in the Spirit, and I'd just spend some time reading in the Word, and I'd spend some time praying in the Spirit. And I can't tell you how many times just that still, small voice drift up. And it always sounds like Brother Hagin. I said, God sounds like Brother Hagin. And then I realized Brother Hagin just sounds like God sometimes because he's speaking the Word. What comes up is the Word. It's chapter and verse, because I would hear him quote scripture all the time.
Right.
Sitting under his ministry for all those years before he went home to be with the Lord, you'd listen and he would just read scriptures and quote scriptures. And there's times I can just hear scriptures in his voice. Now, I don't hear it as much as I used to because his voice is gone. We lost that voice. Now, thank God we have recordings and we can still go back and listen to those. Now, God's a ventriloquist, because now I hear Doug Jones' voice or Tony Cook's voice or my wife's voice. No. See, whoever it is that we're listening as far as teachers and who is feeding us with the Word of God, many times the Holy Spirit will use that voice, which is familiar to us, which is in a sense, a recognizable voice, a trusted voice. But that voice will always give you scripture. It won't tell you, I want you to swing from the chandeliers and then run around the building three times. That's not the voice of God. That's the voice of works. That's an imposter. The voice of God will always give you scripture, and it's peaceable and pleasant. Again, what Pastor Mary was sharing earlier. Follow after what? The Bible says peace and pleasantness. He's never going to ask you to do something beyond your ability, or that's difficult in the sense that's hardship to you. Now, it might be hard on your flesh. It might be saying, I want you to fast for a day, or I want you to get your, you know, balance your checkbook. No, see, when we start looking at these things, he and his word are one. He is going to speak to us through his word. And if we recognize and we know the word, when the imposter comes, when the deceiver comes. Now, you go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. Now, the serpent who was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. What does that do right there? What does that statement say to you? Hath God said. Feeds doubt. Mm-hmm. It questions the authority and the legitimacy the originality
of God.
Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He took a truth and twisted it just enough, and he did the same thing to Jesus when he came out of the wilderness after 40 days. And if he did it to Adam and Eve, and if he did it to Jesus, do you think he'll do it to us?
Yes.
Sure he will. And so he may sound like the Word. He may actually use scriptures in such a way. But that's why you and I need to be seeking the Word of God. That's why you and I need to seek the Lord diligently so that when we are faced with a decision, when we are faced with a situation, we know what Scripture says. And, you know, years ago when we were at Raven, we worked in healing school. One of the things that we learned real quick is that some of the people that came there, doctors had given up on them. Many of those people came, it was their last ditch effort. We just didn't know how long they were going to live. We didn't know how long they had to live. And there were literally people there that came, and if they didn't get a miracle, they were dying. And that changes the way you preach. That changes the way you minister, because literally you don't want somebody dying while you're preaching. Mm-hmm. And that I'm not joking. That's, you know, well, I just slayed them while I was preaching today. No, that's not funny. Mm-hmm. Not in that circumstance. You want to be able to make sure that your words contain life. My words are what? Life. And those people have to grab hold of that. But they are, many of those people came, and this is a sad testimony, but many people came for one reason. Where's Brother Hagin? I want Brother Hagin to lay hands on me. Brother Hagin could lay hands on them. But you know what? They had faith in Brother Hagin. They didn't have faith in believing that God is the healer. Who's the rewarder? Not Brother Hagin.
That's right.
See, even if you say, call for the elders of the church. If any man be sick, what should you do? Call for the elders of the church. Now, I've gotten in trouble with some of my pastor and minister friends because they're always saying, well, man, we've got to have altar calls. We've got to get people up here. We've got to get everybody up here for healing. We've got to get everybody up here for deliverance. I says, you know, the Bible never actually gives us an illustration of that. The Bible gives us an illustration that if they're sick, they call for the elders of the church. Let's say, have the elders of the church call for the sick. Think about that one for a while. See, we have to be able to say, when that person says, Pastor, will you pray for me? You've just connected with the gift of God, and all I am is the messenger. I don't have the healing. All right? Anybody that's an elder, you can have any believer lay hands on you. These signs shall follow them that what?
Believe.
Any believer can lay hands on you. As soon as you tap into the fact that you believe God is the one behind them, that you're seeking the God that is the rewarder, that God is the healer. You're seeking the healer. You remember we sing that song, seek the giver, not the gift. Mm-hmm. We sing that song. Seek the healer, not just your healing. And sometimes people, I'm just coming to get healed, But we need to focus on the healer. Mm-hmm. And when you focus on the healer, glory to God, there's something you'll be able to tap into. So when he said, hath God said, right away we can start questioning, well, I'm not sure. And that's why it's so important to spend time in the Word. And again, I'm going to encourage you, for what Pastor Mary was sharing during Equip class, what got her through her challenge this last year was the constant getting into the Word when she needed to be able to build herself up in the most holy faith. Keeping yourself in the Word of God, keeping yourself in the love of God, because she knew, when you know God loves you, God's going to answer you. Amen. God's not my problem. He's my answer. And so I look at that and I start tapping into that. Again, back to John chapter 10. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Verse 27, and I know them and they follow me. We can know when you go back earlier, they say, they know me. He says, I know them, they know me. And when we tap into that, my sheep know my voice. Again, what is his voice? What is it that he is speaking to us? He is constantly trying to speak to us. Are we listening? Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church? Do we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us? In those times when we are really desperate to hear from heaven about something, and we get quiet, and we start to seek. I know a lot of people are looking for that fleece. They're looking for that supernatural sign. You know, if it just... you know, if these lights flash three times, then I'll know it's God. And sure enough, you know, somebody runs into a telephone pole and the light starts flashing. So, so did God make that guy run into the telephone pole? See, you got to start thinking that out. Can I talk to you about the still small voice? Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's go through this. This is Elijah's example. On your way there, let me say this. I just had a thought. Many of you know the story of Samuel.
Yeah.
Samuel, in I believe it's 1 Samuel chapter 3, when he was a just a wee little child and had been given to Eli to learn and grow up in the things of God. He's sleeping. Eli's off sleeping. And the voice of God speaks to him. And, you know, let's go there. We're going to have a detour. 1 Samuel. Let's find it. I had looked this up, but I wasn't planning to get into this tonight. But we're going to go with it. I always like detours. All right. Yes, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Oh, this is good. And there was no open vision. Precious means it was scarce. It was precious. I mean, the word should be precious to us, but it also means it was scarce. In other words, it was great value. It was rare. It was precious. And so he's saying he ministered before the Lord and he ministered unto the Lord, but there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." That's a good thing to do when God calls you. Just say, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went away and lied down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again."
Go to bed. Stop bothering me. Go back to bed.
Every parent knows that one, don't they? Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Isn't that interesting? He'd already been ministering unto the Lord up in verse 1, but he didn't know him that personal, intimate, epinosis kind of knowledge. He knew about God. He knew God's ways. He was there to minister unto God, but he hadn't connected yet in such a personal way that God desires to be with every one of us. I think that's an interesting statement. That now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So there's something about the word being revealed unto him, which is what's going to speak to him. Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again and the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Like third time, like, well, duh. Three times you come and woke me up and said that I called you. And I didn't call you. So, gee, maybe something else is going on. This is the great man of God, the prophet of God. This is the guy who knows everything. He's supposed to hear from God. And he finally dawns on him. Gee, maybe God's speaking to this kid. So, therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord." I love that. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Underline that, because that's a good phrase. "Lord, speak, I will hear." So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood. I love this part. He stood there. He was right there present. And called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." That's a good place. Well, let's read verse 11. "The Lord said unto Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." I love that. I thought we better read that next verse. When God speaks, your ears might tingle. Glory to God. I know that when I speak, your ears tingle. So, so let's turn over to 1 Kings. That was a little detour. I wanted to get to 1 Kings chapter 19. This will make your ears tingle. Glory to God. How many of you have ever seen on the news where there's a picture of this poor, rejected pastor sitting on the steps of his church and everything else is gone? There's been a tornado came through and blew the church away, and all that's left is the steps, and just the rest of it's just rubble. And they're interviewing him, and just, oh, what are you going to do? I don't understand what the Lord's trying to tell us. He's thinking that the Lord was trying to speak through the circumstance of the tornado blowing his building down. I've seen too many of these news reports. I've seen too many testimonies about it. And I always want to just walk up to the guy. That's not the way God speaks. Mm-hmm. How do you know? Let's read 1 Kings 19. Jump in at verse 11. You know, Elijah's bellyaching about it, but I can't put it in context for you. I just don't have time. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Please underline that. Was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. He was not in the tornado. He was not in the hurricane. He's not in the cancer. He's not in the circumstance. And after the fire, a still, small voice. End of verse 12. The last four words. Underline them. Highlight them. Put stars, arrows, whatever you need to. Because this is how God is continuing to speak to the church today. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou hear, Elijah? I think it's interesting. Until he heard the still small voice, then he realized, he took that mantle, like his prayer shawl, put that over his head, which is a sign of submission and humility. And he went out into the mouth of the cave. And I can't put it into full context. He's having this big belly-aching pity party with God about some things. And he humbles himself. You know, if he really thought God was in the earthquake or the fire or the wind, why didn't he put the mantle over his head then? Just a question. You know, those are the kind of things when I read the word, I ask stupid questions. Why didn't he put the mantle? I mean, if the wind is blowing, wouldn't you put the mantle over your head just to keep your hair down? Huh? Yeah. He didn't put the mantle over his head with the earthquake because something might fall on his head. He's in a cave. The cave could have fallen in on it during an earthquake. Huh? It's not until he heard God's really still small voice and he realized that's God. That he walked out and he put that mantle over his head as a sign of submission. And God says, now, Elijah, what do you hear? And God starts to speak to him. Doesn't speak to him through the circumstance. Does not speak to him. You know, someone's driving along and the car stops and the engine blows up. God, what are you trying to say? I need to buy a new car? No, this is the car salesman saying that. So we have to understand, how is God speaking to us today? How does God speak to the church today? Getting back to Hebrews chapter 1. In times past, various times, various ways he spoke to us. But in these last days, God has chosen to speak to us through his Son. He's speaking to us through his Word. He's speaking to us by his Spirit. And in that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, many times the way he's going to speak to you, he's going to speak a verse to you. He's going to give you a scripture. He's going to give you some specific instructions sometimes. Now, there are times, if you've been doing this for a long time, that maybe he gives you even more specific instruction. But that takes time to learn how to hear that voice and know that it's the voice of your good shepherd. Again, he's a good shepherd, not a bad shepherd. Qualify that. John 10 says he's the good shepherd. The thief comes to do what?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
So if what you're hearing steals, kills, or destroys anything in your life, if it especially steals your joy, if it kills the momentum that God has put into your life, if it steals, kills, and destroys, that's the wrong voice. Then that's the voice that says, hath God said?
Yeah.
And that's when you have to do exactly like Jesus said. It is written. You start to speak right back to that. And you know, the devil knows the Bible sometimes better than us. He's been around a long time. And he may quote Scripture to you. And that's why you need to know what Scripture actually says. Why do we have so many crazy, goofy doctrines in the body of Christ these days? Because they've listened to the wrong voice. They've listened to the voice of the imposter. They've not the voice of the pastor, the imposter. You know the difference, right? The good shepherd, there's the shepherd, that's the pastor. All right? And so when we listen to the good voice of the good shepherd, we're going to be able to hear what the word says and get that peace that passes all understanding. We'll follow after peace and pleasantness. You know, I won't get into John chapter 5 right now, but in the Amplified, if you go look up verse 30 and so forth, in that context, Jesus is talking about he only spoke what he heard, and what he heard, he went out and did, and I believe we should be doing the same thing. Whatever we hear from the Word of God, that, you know, I don't need a supernatural bells and whistles to tell me to do something that the Bible already tells me I should do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've already got that instruction. I've already got, like the Great Commission,
yeah.
I've already got that instruction.
Yeah.
I don't have to say, Lord, should I share the gospel with people? Duh. Of course you do. If that opportunity arises and it's there, then take that opportunity. It's that simple. Let's go over to John chapter 12. Let me use one more illustration. John chapter 12, let's be honest, people don't always hear the same thing and understand what God's speaking. I can testify to the fact that if we interviewed somebody outside after this message, and we interviewed all of you, and somebody asked what you guys heard, it's amazing how different the answers you would get. Because people hear based on what their need is. People hear based on what interests them. People hear based on their level of knowledge of the Word. John chapter 12, verse 28, that says this, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, now notice what came? A voice. Now remember, back in Genesis, the voice actually walked. How does a voice walk? In other words, that was Jesus, a pre-incarnation of Jesus, I believe. Other places, he talks about Jesus as a voice of many waters. It talks about it in the Old Testament, talks about in Revelation, other places. One place it talks about a voice as a multitude of voices, but it's one voice. But it's so overwhelming sometimes, God speaking a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. A little dramatic emphasis for you. Verse 29. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it what? Oh. Wait a minute. I thought it says it was a voice from heaven. Now, I have to be honest. I had a relative. Whenever it would thunder, they'd say, oh, God's talking. God's talking. And you always want to say, what's he saying? Because if you didn't understand it, it's not him.
Yeah.
He's not vague. He's not confusing. He's not trying to confuse you.
Yes.
If he's going to speak to you, he's going to speak pretty clear.
That's right.
He's going to do just like Samuel. He's going to come and stand by you. He stood there, and he made it very clear. He came to Elijah and stood there. Now, thank God in the New Testament, I don't have to wait for him to come and stand here. He's already come on the inside of me. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Those that stood by thought it thundered. Others said, oh, it was an angel that spoke. So which one is it? Thunder or an angel? Jesus answered and said, verse 30, this voice came not because of me. He says, I really didn't need to hear this, is what he's basically saying. But for your sakes. What do you mean, for your sakes? There were some people that probably heard it and it acknowledged in them who Jesus was. He says, glorify my name. Take that name and glorify it. He says, I will, and I'm going to do it again. You know, we have a glorified name in the name of Jesus. If we have to deal with demons, what do? We use the name of Jesus. We have to pray for healing. We do it in what?
Jesus.
The name of Jesus. That name has been glorified and lifted up and has more authority than we can even imagine. We need to use that name. That name carries the authority and the power as if Jesus himself was here in person. I'm not talking about thunder, not talking about an angel, I'm talking about Jesus, the voice of the Lord himself. All right, let's wrap it up here. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, or 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. A couple of weeks ago, we used 2 Timothy chapter 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect or mature in the things of God. Remember that verse, because in the context, you're going to see something interesting. Peter comes along and says this, verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. He's making a point. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Now, I have to be honest, as an agnostic, guess what I used to say to Christians? You're following cunningly devised fables. Oh, those just a bunch of guys got together, probably smoked some wacky tobacco, came up and wrote all this stuff down and kind of made it all up, and you guys are just foolish enough to believe it. You know, back in those days, I didn't know enough to read things like Evidence That Demands a Verdict and how the continuity of Scripture over hundreds, even thousands of years, there is no way, even from a mathematical way, to say that the odds are that it just is so consistent. It isn't possible. The fact that it all blends together and so many prophecies have come to pass, the odds are not realistic. I mean, it's got to be real. It's got to be God. And yet, he's saying, he's defending, we're not following some cunningly devised fables. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So in other words, he's saying, I was there. I saw it. I can testify of it. That's the best evidence you can get right there. He says in verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now you can see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three have testified of that incident. Now, it's interesting, two other witnesses show up, and they're thinking, what's going on? Moses and Elijah are there. Well, that's the law and the prophets, that they represented that. And they spoke to Jesus during that transfiguration, during his glory. And they witnessed this, and they're watching. And, of course, Peter, I think it's interesting, who's writing this, was the one who says, boy, we should build an altar. Well, then those two guys disappear. And what happens? Then the voice speaks. No. This is my beloved Son. Don't be focusing on Moses or Elijah. Forget the law and the prophets just got fulfilled in my Son. A voice spoke. An authoritative voice spoke and established something. The Word of God is that authoritative voice, and it should establish our heart in what he says is absolutely trustworthy. And that's what he's saying. We're not following cunningly devised fables. We were eyewitnesses of this. We heard that voice. Now, I think it's interesting that he didn't tell off on himself about all the things that that happened that he probably shouldn't have said. He said, We heard it on that holy mountain. For we also, verse 19, listen to this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, that's what 2 Timothy 3:16 is talking about, inspiration. But he's saying, you know what, we saw God, Jesus being transformed. We saw Moses. We saw Elijah. We saw this transformation. We heard the voice of God. But you know what we have? A more sure word of prophecy. See, there's people that are seeking signs and wonders and visitations. Oh, Lord, if you just have an angel show up. Well, you know what? The devil is a fallen angel. And he could accommodate you. You don't need to ask for an angel when you already have the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
You don't need to ask for some kind of sign and wonder or a fleece when you already have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. He says, I have a more sure word of prophecy right here. I have the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and they are going to speak, and they are reliable, and they are truthful, and I know absolutely that I can trust in them. And that's what I use when I'm going to seek the voice of God, when I'm going to know the voice of God, when I'm going to recognize the voice of God. This right here is the voice of God. You've got it in your hand. Say, what do you mean? That's not a voice. Yes, it is. The significant voice is right. If a voice can walk, a voice can be held in your hand too. Amen? The Word speaks louder than any supernatural sign. The Word always speaks louder. And every time we go back to what the Spirit of God is going to say, what the Word of God is, do you need direction? Do you need wisdom? Do you need an answer? This is where it is. This is where the answers are. This is where the wisdom. Seek the Lord diligently, and you will find Him. He will be found of you. Scripture. We used that scripture 2 weeks ago. He will be found of you. It says after, though we scrounge it, we feel after Him. One translation says, that we reach for Him. Reach for your Bible. Reach for your Bible. Amen? That's a good place to stop. Father, we just thank You for Your Word tonight. We are so thankful for Your Word and Your Spirit. I do pray, Lord Jesus, that as You speak supernaturally through Your Word and by Your Spirit in our inward man, there's something about hearing with the inward man, having ears to hear. Well, we all have ears, Father, but we need hearing ears on the inside, the spiritual ears, not just physical ears, but spiritual ears. We don't need to hear an audible voice. We need to hear that still, small voice within us. We thank You that still, small voice. Then we can be like Elijah, and we can pull that mantle of submission, that mantle of humility over our heads and humble ourselves under Your mighty power, under Your mighty hand. And we will hear exactly what You need to speak to our hearts. We thank You, Lord Jesus, as we get into Your Word, we will become so familiar with Your voice that the voice of another, the voice of the stranger, we will not follow. We know the voice of our Good Shepherd. You know us, and we are continually seeking and pressing in to know You. We press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is You, knowing You more than anything else. I count all things but rubbish, Paul said, that I may know You and the power of Your resurrection. We just give You glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said.